All right, let me pray, and then we're just going to look at two of those verses this morning, but Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Let me pray as we look at this great little passage. Let's pray. Sorry, let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you bring us here this morning, that you brought all of us online in this digital world. But Father, we know that your word is powerful. And we praise you this morning, Lord, that we can have your word in your hands and you promise to speak to us through your word. And so, Father, this morning I pray that your word will bring great encouragement and comfort to troubled hearts. And Lord, that we'll hear your word this morning and respond as Paul calls us in everything. We may come to you in prayer as we're doing now. So, Father, be with us this morning as we hear you speak to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may have seen Shells and I wandering around the streets of Blakers. We're not really wandering. It's our daily exercise. But in this time of isolation, we're trying to walk twice a day. You may have seen those memes where we're wearing out the dogs and the dogs are sick of walking. But they're coming along with us. We're wearing out our shoes. But even so, it still takes discipline for us every day to get up and go for a walk. Now, on top of that, Harry, my eldest son, has got us doing family workouts. He's worked out this whole routine for us, sit-up and crunches and push-ups and leg raises and planks, whatever they are. It's something about a 30-day ab challenge. Some of the exercises are really hard and, you know, you don't want to see me doing it. I'm not that coordinated or necessarily that fit. But now, like everything else, it takes time to turn a new habit, a new thing like a workout into a regular discipline. And I've got to say, it was really hard going the first few days and now weeks. I've wanted to give up a few times. But with every new discipline, it takes perseverance. It takes motivation and encouragement to press on to see the results and the benefits, especially of exercise. I'm not so sure about the six-pack anyway. But now working on our health and fitness is of value in our isolation. We are not that active anymore, given we're spending more time on our screens. I'm hearing people spending 8, 10, 12 hours on screens working, but we're not running around doing the normal things that we do. So we're just sitting more and more and not really working on our health. But I wonder how you're going with your relationship with God. How are you going with your relationship with Jesus in this time of isolation? Are you spending time, which I said we have a little bit more of at the moment, in the word and prayer? For these are vital for our spiritual health. And one of those disciplines, prayer, is at the core of our Christian life. I think prayer is the lifeline of our connection with God. And it takes discipline to be still before God in prayer. So how is your prayer life this morning? How's your prayer life going in this time of isolation? Now, we know that prayer can feel awkward at times. You know, questions about how do I pray or what do I pray for? But prayer can be like an exercise, a discipline that is hard to maintain. But friends, prayer is vital for a healthy, growing relationship with God. The most important relationship we have to work on. And it's crucial to sustain us in this broken world, especially in these uncertain times. For at the heart of prayer is the expression of our faith in God that demonstrates our dependence on him. And Paul says in our passage today, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, for there we'll find peace. And don't we need that at the moment? And Paul is someone who knows peace, despite being in prison. Paul's writing this letter to the Philippians. He's in chains. He's been in prison for about 2 years. But even in his isolation, he is not isolated from God because of prayer. And Paul's message, even in his circumstances, is not that of a warrior, but of a man who knows peace in his heart, despite the circumstances. See, in the midst of the storm raging around him, I think there's a tranquil calm has settled his heart. And he has many reasons to be anxious. As I said, he's in chains, he's beaten, his freedom has been taken from him. He's facing death for preaching Jesus. Yet he is at peace through prayer to God, who is peace. In our isolation, as the storms of life rage around us, we have many reasons to be anxious, to be fearful. Will I catch the virus? Will someone close to me catch it? There is the fear of losing jobs and the fear of less income as financial markets melt down. But there's also the fear of the unknown that is really gripping the world at the moment. Yet Paul urges us to commit all our burdens, to the Lord in prayer, as he himself does. For through prayer, we not only experience peace with God, but the peace of God with us in all things. And see how vital prayer is for our spiritual health at the moment. You know, the world is a very anxious place. Even before this COVID-19 pandemic, I think anxiety has been on the increase for years in our modern times. See, every day, not just on our TVs, but social media, we hear and see everything that is going wrong in the world. Almost in an instant. Those non-stop notifications popping up on your phones and computers, we can't escape it. And you know what? There's something here, we can't resist clicking on it. And sadly, it's rarely good news, isn't it? All this instant news can lead us to worry, to feel anxious and fearful about life. Now, I want to be clear as we talk about anxiety and worry. I'm not talking about the real medical issue of anxiety or depression. That is a whole different reality and discussion that really I'm not qualified to talk about. But rather, I want to talk about the general concern or worry or anxiety we feel as we live in our broken world that is in our face more and more each day. Because our world has turned its back on God and stop believing the one who sustains and controls all things. And so if God is not in control and what we see in the world is all there is to life, and that death is just the end, no wonder the world is an anxious place. And clearly that anxiety is gripping and sweeping around the world, for no one has an answer to this virus. But as Christians, we do know that God is in control, that God is with us and God is for us and working for our eternal good, seeing his love for us in Jesus. So we ought to be different in our response to the world and its worries. And it comes through the discipline of prayer. For Paul says it in verse 6, if you've got your Bibles open, do not be anxious about anything. Now, Paul is not saying try not to be anxious, but commands us to avoid being anxious. Or let me put it another way, stop worrying. Worry or anxiety, similar words, I think means to be pulled in different directions. I think it means to suffer the tension of your hopes pulling in one direction and the trials of life in the opposite direction. And to be anxious is to be at that breaking point where we let fearfulness and distress take hold of our hearts and minds. And such anxiety compromises our spiritual health or our faith. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. You know, so much of our hopes have been stripped from us, and so much of our trials are in our face, and they're pulling at each other. There's so much tension there that leads to anxiety and worry. But I think our immediate response is to say, I just can't switch it off. I'm not choosing to worry. It just happens. It's normal. And now if in my worry, I'm being disobedient, I'm not doing the right thing before God, that can lead to more worry or anxiety, can't it? Because we want to please God in our life. But worry, anxiety is a failure to trust God who is in control. That's what Paul's saying to us. But here is the key. The command, do not worry. The disobedience is found in remaining in your worry, hanging on to it. So the key is found in the answer to worry. The answer is to replace your worry with prayer. Prayer is the antidote of worry. So when you feel that overwhelming tension building up in you, your hopes and trials are pulling at us, it's in that moment that we will take everything to the Lord in prayer. Now, it's not as if God will immediately take away our cause of anxiety, but we can and ought to pray, calm this storm, God. Paul says in every situation, pray about everything. But when we pray, we put our faith into action. We are trusting that God is in control and not you or me. Trusting that God is the one who is powerful and able to act. And so it's believing in those things that God is faithful that allows us to not worry or be anxious, like people without hope. See, prayer is taking hold of and believing our God is faithful to his promises. Here's one example from Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Friends, prayer is trusting God who will provide all your needs. God is not worried. There is no panic in heaven. Our only plans to work for our eternal good, as we heard in our devotion on Romans 8 this week. See, God is for us. Do not worry about anything is a command to trust the Lord. The cure for worry, the cure for anxiety, that is prayer. To pray about everything. Now, think about that for a moment. There is nothing, let me say that again, there is nothing that we cannot ask God about that he doesn't have control over now. I think that's extraordinary. Here's the depth of Paul's understanding in his isolation. No matter what he's facing, that he can bring anything to God in prayer. Whatever causes you to worry, whatever causes you to be anxious, the command is don't remain or stand in it, but pray about such things to our Heavenly Father who cares for us. Are we not more valuable than the birds? Pray about every troubling situation. And we see that as Paul uses four words in these couple of verses when he's talking about praying to God about everything. Prayer, petitions, thanksgiving and requests. That's what we are to present to God. I think prayer encompasses all the different elements that should go into prayer. The Lord's Prayer, as we started our service this morning, I think is always a good place to start. See, the Lord's Prayer orientates our thoughts on who God is and his will first and foremost. It's a great place to start when we're praying, to think about our Heavenly Father. Petition means things we lack or are deprived of or something we are without. So things we lack will naturally cause stress and worry, won't they? But we are to bring those concerns before God who provides all we need. Trusting God will answer the prayers and meet our needs according to his will. The Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I think this is a really crucial part of bringing everything to the Lord in prayer. That true prayer will be marked by thankfulness. This is one aspect of prayer that often gets overlooked, I think. I think it's similar to how we are to understand that we are to rejoice in suffering, to be thankful when we're anxious about things that we have lost or enduring or fearful about. That's hard, isn't it? For thankfulness takes our eyes off ourselves and to see that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, as we read in Ephesians 1. Read Ephesians 1. That's a wonderful passage to see how we lack absolutely nothing in Jesus. A thankful heart and prayers shaped by such a heart acknowledges how much God has given us in the first place. Our very life, that we're his child through his love and grace, that we have a sure and certain hope, an inheritance that will never spoil or fade, a future glory that God is working in all of us. I think this puts treasures of this world in perspective, doesn't it? For they are not that secure, as we've all discovered. And finally, Paul says that to present all our requests, instructs us to make known to God the specific needs we have. We get an idea of that in Luke 11, verse 5 to 8. It says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So this host is asked not merely for food, but specifically for 3 loaves. This friend makes specific requests and receives what he needs. So it should be for us. What are the specific needs? Notice here it's the needs we need, not our wants. What are the specific needs in your life? What has been weighing you down that is a burden, that is burdening you? And friends, here is the ground where anxiety flourishes if unchecked and unchallenged. But it's also the ground where dependence and trust and joy may grow if you pursue dependent prayer. For that's what prayer is. The discipline of prayer is when worry starts to fill your world. Stop, be still, and pray to God who is in control of the world. For when we pray, what we receive is the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension and will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, what God promises in response to our prayers is peace. Peace is that inner tranquility of the soul, an inner calm that settles the turbulence of troubled hearts. See, peace is the mark of our relationship with God. As we heard in John 20, Jesus appears to his disciples and says, peace be with you. See, Jesus comes so we can be friends, not enemies. The war is over. And now through prayer, we have the peace of God himself to fill our hearts and minds. God himself is peace, as we read in Ephesians 2, verse 14. See, all peace belongs to God. Therefore, he alone can give peace. And this peace surpasses all comprehension. It exceeds human comprehension or explanation, for only God can provide it. See, nothing in this world can provide the peace, that lasting peace and tranquility of our soul we need in our troubled hearts. A peace only God can provide. It's supernatural in that it floods the heart and drowns out worry. See, Jesus says in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." See, in our worries and anxiety, we turn to the world. The world just gives us false hope. It gives us false security and false desires that just leads to more frustration, more insecurity, more tension, more fears, more worry and anxiety. But peace comes knowing we have turned to the only one who's able to do immeasurably more than we can imagine or think of. For God's working for our good in all things. Now, it doesn't mean he'll necessarily change our circumstances, but he does change our heart. And therefore, our response to our worries and fears and anxiety is peace. And this peace will guard our hearts and minds. It's like a military operation. It's a picture of a soldier standing guard to ward off the enemy. Paul had plenty of those standing guard over him because they thought he was an enemy preaching Jesus. But Paul's heart was guarded in a secure way. God was protecting his heart so that fear and anxiety would not take hold. The peace denied entrance to the heart when we pray. The peace of God stands watch over your heart and mind in Christ. In other words, do we have a heart for Jesus? A heart that longs and desires for the things of God? A troubled, anxious heart, it's easy to long for those things of the world that give us a sugar hit, like retail therapy, although there's not much of that at the moment. But do we have the heart that says Jesus is the one who satisfies my deepest longings and needs? See, when we fix the eyes of our hearts on Jesus, fill our heart with what pleases him, pray about all things, he guards our hearts from worrying taking over us. And I think it's similar with our mind. It's easy in times of trouble for our minds to wander down paths that are unhelpful. You know, paths that doubts that God is good or he is in control. Thoughts that seek to find answers in wisdom and philosophies of the world. And this is where Satan's lies and schemes can get a stronghold and break down our defences. Then the worries of the world consume us even more, so we doubt that God is powerful and all-loving. Through prayer, our entire inner being is being fortified against the attacks of worry taking hold of us. Satan can't get a foothold when we pray in Jesus' name, because he flees at the name of Jesus. And friends, peace is found in Christ. The supernatural peace of Jesus is all sufficient in all the storms of life. This peace comes not from the world or anything in it. Jesus has overcome this world and everything in it. And there is no peace outside of him, nor a moment of relief apart from resting in Jesus, being still before him in prayer. So how is your spiritual health? How is your prayer life? It takes discipline to pray, doesn't it? But stick at it, for here is the command of God that, as we've seen, is for our good. Don't be anxious about anything. You notice that's anything. There's nothing that we cannot take to God. So can I ask you, what's going on in your heart and mind at the moment? What hopes and trials are pulling at you? What things are causing that tension and those moments of anxiety and worry? What's pulling at you at the moment? In everything, friends, pray. Notice it's everything and anything. There's nothing that God doesn't have control over. There's nothing that God doesn't long for us to come to him and bring all our burdens before him. So the question is, why aren't we praying? Because we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. He longs to hear from his children. He knows how to give good gifts to those who love him. So friends, in this time of isolation, with everything else that is going on, can I encourage you to be working on your spiritual health, your spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, and remember to pray. And his peace will flood your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let's keep our eyes fixed on him. So here's a little reminder about this verse. Something for us to just remind each day. If you are in a fix, remember Philippians 4 verse 6. There's a way to finish this morning. So what I would like us to do is in the quietness of your home, just for a few moments, as Paul has encouraged us this morning, is just to spend a few moments before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Maybe as a family, by yourself, just spend that moment. What's pulling at your hopes and your trials at the moment? What concerns are filling your mind and filling your heart? Let's lay them before our Heavenly Father, as he asks us to do. And let's not be anxious or worry about anything. And then we'll come back and we'll sing that last song together and finish our time this morning. So let's just spend a few quiet moments praying, and then I'll play the song.